Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Amen. Well, we are in this series. It's called Immeasurably More, and it's based off of this passage in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Does anybody happen to have that memorized off the top of your head that just kind of wants to shout it out at the top of your lungs? Anybody? Nothing? Okay. It says, "Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him, to God, and the church through Christ Jesus, through all generations, forever." He's able to accomplish infinitely more, immeasurably more. And this last week, you guys came to the church and we prayed for immeasurably more. We continued diving in deep, giving up our first week of the year, submitting it to him because we want immeasurably more. How many of you guys want immeasurably more for your life? Yeah, absolutely. Nobody wants less, right? Like, God, I have too much. I think you can kind of tone it back a little bit on the blessings, God. I don't need all that, thanks. But, you know, if you can, you know, just give to somebody else, appreciate it. Nobody says that. Instead, we thank God for the blessings that he gives, but then we also pray believing that God can and will give us more. And we pray believing for more and more and more. And this passage is all about this more because of God's power that is at work within us. And I think some of us forget about who this God is that we are serving. I think some of us sometimes forget about the greatness and the big, mighty, powerful God that's within us. Because Pastor Greg mentioned that last week, didn't he? Whenever he was talking about that same God that's able to do this, that God's in me and he's in you. And today we're going to look at that a little bit deeper, and we're going to be in Acts chapter 17. If you guys want to turn, if you brought your Bible, that's the sword. If you've got your phones, that's the lightsaber. So if you want to open your swords or use your swords, open your lightsabers, whatever, however you want to say that. And so we're in Acts chapter 17, and just to set it up for you, Paul is preaching, it seems like, everywhere, and he's telling people about the goodness and the greatness of the God it is that he serves. And the problem is there's a lot of people who don't necessarily believe this message. In fact, not only do they not believe this message, they believe that Paul is blaspheming God. They believe that he is not just incorrect, but that he is saying such wrong things about God that it is sinful. And he's here in Athens, and it says, while Paul was preaching for them in Athens, he was deeply troubled by all of the idols that he saw everywhere in the city. He went to the synagogue to reason with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles, and he spoke daily in the public square to all who happened to be there. And again, he's just proclaiming this message of Jesus, who is the Savior of the world. He is the Messiah, and he's come to not just rule over one particular area, but to rule over every single life, every single person, for all nations, for eternity. And he has this debate with some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. It says, when he told them about Jesus and his resurrection, they said, "What's this babbler trying to say with these strange ideas he's picked up?" Another said, "He seems to be preaching about some foreign gods," because these are people who already have all of these different gods that they're worshiping. They already have all of these different things, like, you know, Netflix and their cell phones that are idol, because they had cell phones in those days, right? They had all of these different things that were taking up all of their attention, and all of these things that they put all of their faith in the same way that we do that today. I put a lot of faith in the Dallas Cowboys, and they came through last night. They did. It was a wonderful stomping of the Eagles, and I'm so proud of them. But oftentimes we put our faith in things that aren't real. We put our faith in things that aren't actually going to help us in the long run. When we decide that we are going to put our faith in things that don't matter, we are forgetting the greatness of the one that does. We are forgetting about how awesome our God is. And in verse 19 it says, "Then they took him to the high council of the city. 'Come, tell us about this new teaching,' they said. 'You're saying some rather strange things, and we want to know what this is all about.' So Paul, standing before the council," so these are the big wigs in this area. These are the men in charge religiously. "Men of Athens," is what he says, "I notice you're very religious in every way. For I was walking along, I saw your many shrines, and one of them had this inscription on it, 'To an unknown God.'" Could you imagine putting your faith into a God that you did not know? Could you imagine putting your faith into this object and not even know who it is that you're worshiping? And that's exactly what these people are doing. And that's what some of us even do in our own daily life. We put our faith into something we don't even realize that it's a thing that we're worshiping. We don't even have a relationship with it. It's just an object. But it steals all of our attention, it steals all of our joy, and it steals all of our hope. And we just continue pouring in and pouring into this thing that we don't even know. So it has this inscription on it, "To an unknown God." And Paul says, "This God, whom you worship without knowing, is the one I'm going to tell you about. He is the one who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs because he has no needs. For he himself gives life and breath to everything. And he satisfies every need that we could have. That's the God that we serve. This God who has everything because he created it all. Anything that you and I see, anything that you and I can put our hands on, anything that we can touch, anything tangible, God made that. He put the resources there for that to happen. So how could we possibly serve him? How could we possibly meet a need for him? How could we possibly put him on a shelf and say, "All right, you're here. When I need something specific, I'll come to you. And if you need anything from me, go ahead, ask, and I got you." How could we possibly tangibly put God in this little box and say, "All right, this is the God that I worship"? Because God is so much bigger than that. He's so much more powerful than that. And I don't know if you're in this place where you're doubting, or if you're in this place where you're like, "Man, I don't know if this God thing, if this is for me." Well, there is this God who loves you, and he didn't just say, "I love you." He literally made this act where he demonstrated that love. He demonstrated that love by sending his son to die on a cross. And that is a big, big God who does that. So he made everything in the world, and he is the Lord of heaven and of earth. He doesn't live in man-made temples. We can't serve his needs. He gives life and breath to everything. So at the very beginning of time, when God created Adam, how did he do that? With his breath. With his breath, he gave life. With his breath, he created you, and he created me, and every person for all of eternity. With a breath. And we wonder the enormity of this God that we serve. We wonder about how big he could possibly be. We wonder about how he could possibly come through for us in our darkest times. We wonder how he could possibly provide for us. And in one breath, That's all it took. And so with one breath, he created us, but he didn't create us just to, you know, cast us off to the side and say, hey, look at them over there. He created us with a purpose. He created us for a reason, and it's because he desires intimacy with us. And Paul talks about that in the future, or later in this passage. It says, from one man he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and when they should fall, and he is the one who determines their boundaries. And his purpose, this is it. This is the reason you and I were created. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. That's all we are to do. He created us for one reason and one reason only. Relationship. That's it. If we can do that one thing, great. Imagine what we have access to. If we can have an intimate relationship with God, imagine the power that we would see in our lives. If we could have this one relationship with him, imagine being in the presence of God firsthand, what that's going to look like whenever we get to heaven. If we could have that relationship with him, this is what it looks like. His purpose was for us to seek after him. And then it says, perhaps feel our way towards him and find him. And I know that sometimes it feels like we're living in the dark. Sometimes it feels like we've got all of the lights off and we have no idea what it is that we're doing or where it is that we are. Well, here's what it says. To perhaps feel your way towards him and find him. You can't see him because it's dark. Just reach out and feel around and find him, because here's what it says. He is not far from us. So in our times when we feel like we're alone and we feel like we're so far away from the Lord, we've messed up and we've made mistake after mistake after mistake, and we wonder, okay, God, are you there? God, are you real? God, is this really what's left of my life, to be in this dark abyss with no one around in isolation? No, he says, perhaps feel your way and find him, because he's not far from us. God does not leave us. He doesn't hang us out to dry. He doesn't say, all right, I want you to go do this really big thing for me and then leave you off to figure it out by yourself. He's right here. He's right there for us. And in those dark moments when we have no idea what it is that we're doing, because we are dumb human beings sometimes. And in our, for lack of a better term, our stupidity, all we have to remember is that he's right there. All we got to do is put our hands out there and in the dark reach out and feel him and find him, because he is not far from us. Then Paul says, for in him we live and we move and we exist. Because without him, we are nothing. Without the breath of God, we're dirt. One breath. And it gave us life. One breath is all it took, was for you and for me to have access to immeasurably more. One breath. He created you. He created me for this glorious purpose. Just reach out. Touch him when we need him, and we can have access to immeasurably more. I love that Paul adds this part in there, because there's so many times when we look around at our world and the different songs that
song artists come up with, the different lyrics that are out there, some of the movies and TV shows that are out there, they all have some of these like catchy one-liners or like a theme song if you watch TV shows and you remember them, right? You remember them forever. Some of you guys are really into art and into like literature, right? And if you're really into literature and you like really study some of, I don't know, Shakespeare's works, there might be some lines that might stick out to you, like, I don't know, Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, right? Like, these are things that stick out to us because they're things that are memorable. Well, Paul does this incredible thing with them, and this is what I think of whenever I think of Paul speaking to this group of people. I think Paul, he grabs one of their own poets, and it says, as one of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. I feel like for, you know, just reading it on the page, looking at that terminology, we're like, well, okay, why did he put that in there? But I really feel like maybe in that era, there was some writer who was famous. And that famous writer wrote this line, and everybody like believed in this line, we are his offspring. And then he says, and since this is true, we shouldn't think of God as an idol designed by craftsmen from gold or silver or stone. Could you imagine if your mother or your father was a statue? Could you imagine if your mother or your father was like this little trophy that was on a shelf? Could you imagine if the person that birthed you and all of your knowledge of them was this artifact? If we are his offspring, then we shouldn't think of God as something that is made by man. If we are his offspring, we should think of him as someone who is living and exists and moves in the same way that your mother or your father lives and breathes and moves, as someone who you can touch and reach out your hand and call for help and they'll come to your rescue. This is the God that we serve. He is our dad. He is our father. We are his child. And if we really call ourselves a child of God, then shouldn't we desire to have a relationship with him? And I'm just thankful that, yeah, while sin separates us from God, that he made a way. He provided an offspring who he gave for us to have that relationship. And I feel like this morning that's kind of been this theme. I mean, we've taken communion and we've looked at really the sacrifice that Jesus paid for us. And it was all for a reason. Because it's in him that we live and we move and we exist. And there's no way that we would be able to have that relationship with him if it weren't for Jesus. So this becomes the troubling part of this message, and this is the part that's probably going to hit home for some of us. Paul later, he says, God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times. So there have been times that once upon a time, God, if somebody didn't know about Jesus, that he overlooked that. If they didn't know who God was, then he overlooked the fact that they didn't have relationship. It says, but now he commands everyone, everywhere, to repent of their sins and turn to him. And to me, that's a heavy burden. Because I know for me, yeah, I recognize who God is, and every single morning, I repent of my sins. And every single day, I feel like I live in new mercy with him every single day, which is a wonderful thing. But there are some people that are around this world who don't know that. There are some people that are around this world that have absolutely no idea who Jesus is. There are people in your workplace, believe it or not, that have never had the opportunity to learn who Jesus is. They might have heard of God. They might, you know, be deist in some facet, or they might, you know, have some recollection through stories that they've heard as a kid of this Jesus character. But do they really know him? Do they know about the price? Do they know about the life that they could have? Do they know that they could have access to immeasurably more? Do they know that they live and they breathe because of Jesus? Do they know that? And as a Christ follower, I feel like for me, my burden is opening doors and opportunities for people to know about that. And when Rochelle and I, when we were missionaries, we went believing in this, believing wholeheartedly that we had opportunities to meet people and to share with them about the life-saving grace of Jesus and this message of hope and the fact that this God who loves them and actually created them from one breath doesn't just want them to do good things. He desires to have a relationship with them. And they don't have to pray through some other person. They can literally have a one-line connection with God. These are the things that we had to teach people. And I wonder, are there people in your own circle that haven't heard that? So for you and for me, we are blessed because we have access to this. For you and for me, we have this incredible hope because we have Jesus. But with that comes this responsibility. Wasn't Jesus' last major command to go and tell the world about him? To make disciples of all nations? So for us, shouldn't we have this desire? If we truly have this relationship with him, shouldn't we have this desire to tell our friends and family members? To at least open that door of conversation? Shouldn't we have that burden to do that? In verse 31 it says, he has set a day for judging the world with justice by the man he is appointed and proved to everyone who this is by raising him from the dead. Everyone will be judged. And my heart breaks for those who don't know him. So we've spent this week and we've had different prayer points for each night this week. And I feel like for me and for some of you guys, there's really been this moment of breakthrough. There's really been this moment where I felt like God says, this is what I want. This is how we are going to move forward from this. This is how we are going to get more. This is how we are going to have immeasurably more. And our students are going to hear about this theme in a couple of weeks. But for me, I feel like getting this immeasurably more means that I'm going to have one more moment of obedience. One more moment where I step out in faith. One more moment where I sacrifice. One more moment where I give. One more moment where I see this person, I see the need, and then I step outside of my comfort zone to meet the need. And I feel like so often we come to this place where we are asking God for more, but we're not willing to give him more. And I feel like the Lord's really just asking, if you want to see more, Addison, I need one more from you. I need one more from you. And I'm looking around, Travis, would you mind playing a little bit for me? I want to give you guys an opportunity to respond to this. And there's going to be two different ways that you can respond. The first way that you can respond is maybe this God who created us for the purpose of perhaps seeking after him and feeling our way towards him and finding him, maybe for you, it's felt too far away. Maybe for you, you're running out of hope. And the room seems ultra dark, and you feel like you've just been walking in circles and you don't know where it is that you're going. First, I want to tell you, all God wants you to do is reach out and touch him and find him, because he's not far from you. And if that's you today, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus into your life and to allow him to be the Lord and Savior of your life, the God who gives life and breath to everything, that God who is big and powerful and strong and can give immeasurably more than we might ever think or imagine. With every head bowed and eyes closed, if that's you, you say, Addison, I need that. I need Jesus. I need what you've just described, and I want to find him. I'd just like you to raise your hand. Yeah, I see you. So here's the great thing about relationship with God is I can talk directly to him. And you can talk directly to him. And if you're here and you want that relationship with him, then I want to ask you to, over this next minute, we're just going to have a moment of silence for you to talk to God and say, Lord, I'm here and I want you. In your own way, just say that. So the second way that I want us to respond today is, maybe you're here and you haven't really considered the fact that inside of your circle, there are people who have never heard the message of Jesus. And having heard me speak this morning on this particular topic, you kind of feel that burden. You feel that burden that I want to go and reach out. I want to be light in a dark world. I want to introduce people to the life-saving grace that's found in Jesus. And if that's you, I kind of want to ask you to do something a little bit bold. I want to ask you to stand. That's who you say, today I feel this new burden, this new desire to speak to people in my workplace. Then I'm going to ask you to stand. Yeah, I see you. Yeah. Keep standing all across the room. This morning, Lord, I pray for my friends that are here that have this same desire that you do, and that's for everyone to have a relationship with you. Lord, we know that you came to this earth, you died this death so that we could have a relationship with you. And we know, Lord, that other people need that relationship. And I pray, Lord, for boldness to come over these people. I pray, Lord, for your confidence to just overwhelm them. I pray that you would open doors for conversation with people in their workplace, that you would open doors for people to just come through and open up to you and this idea that there is a God who is real, who loves them. I pray, Lord, that these conversations that in them, that you would speak through them, that your Holy Spirit would just speak in their lives and through their lives, that they would be this incredible testimony of who you are and your love that you have for them. And I pray, Lord, that there would be people who would come to Christ because of this group. That there would be lives changed because of you, Jesus. That's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Well, tonight, man, this is like the 12th time I've said tonight. It is definitely 11:10 in the morning. See, it feels like tonight because I've been up since like 5 a.m., which is nothing compared to, you know, like Brother Jerry, who's probably up at 4:15 this morning. But before you go, I'd like to pray a prayer of blessing over you. Is that okay? Lord, thank you for letting your presence show up today and show out. I pray for the people that are in this room that you would bless their feet to walk in paths of righteousness, that you would bless their hands to do work that is good. I pray that when they leave this facility, God, that you would bless their mouths to speak words of encouragement and cheer, and bless their minds to think thoughts that are pure, clean, righteous, and holy. I pray, Lord, that you would bless them, that your face would smile upon them, and that you would give them peace and joy forever. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, hey, I love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. Hope y'all have an awesome week. We'll see you on Wednesday night.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.